We turn to Isaiah 53 and to verse 2. Isaiah 53 and to verse 2. Now, some 700 years beforehand, this is prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall grow up before him, that's before God, as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But especially those words, that the Saviour shall grow up as a root out of a dry ground. Now, one of the most splendid and most delicate passages in the whole of the Bible is the passage in which we have recorded the words of the angel to Mary concerning her conception of the child who became the Lord Jesus. It is wonderfully described and delicately described. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Delicately and brilliantly put. The Lord Jesus, to be our Saviour, had to be perfect. He had to be God, because only God has the authority to forgive sins. Only God can forgive any one of us our sins. We cannot, because of our sinfulness, either break free from sin from now on, nor can we make up to God for the sins of the past. So our position is hopeless, and all this natural tendency to sin and to actual sinning comes passed down from Adam. Hence Charles Wesley got us to sing, "Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in his place." And so this child, that in order to be a man had to be born of manhood, and yet in order to be God had to be born of the Holy Spirit, so that this child, looking so much like us, would nevertheless be so different. Two natures perfectly united in one human frame. Fully God, fully man. And all this was wonderfully governed by God down to the last detail. And what is going on here, although it is not stated, is that, you see, the perfection of this man is guaranteed by having the Holy Spirit as the Father. God as the Father, so to speak, in his manhood. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his spiritual glory, had always been there. But now he leaves heaven, he comes to earth, and he unites to himself a human form. But at the same time, even Mary, however good she was and however nice she was, would still on her side have passed some sin into that child who was conceived in the womb. So even that had to be guarded against by the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, guaranteeing the perfection of this child. And so we have it foretold us that there would be a child who would grow up in the sight of God, not only with God looking on, but with God's great encouragement and God's guidance and God's help, both the Father and the Holy Spirit. But that this child would grow up as a tender plant, that is to say, as something that is vulnerable, something that is soft, something that needs to be guided and guarded against all the frosts of the sin of this world. But that he grows as a root out of a dry ground. It is a wonderful thing that no matter what the soil, a plant will grow up to be, what it has in its bulb, what it has in its tuber, what it has in its seed. No matter the soil, the plant will grow up just like a dandelion always is, just like a fuchsia always is, just like a rose always is. But you cannot leave it there. You do have to say that the luxuriance of the growth or the limitation of the growth will be down to the soil. That the root has within it all the makings of the perfection of the plant. But if the soil is bad, it may grow up to be perhaps wiry, perhaps skinny, perhaps not even to bear a flower. But the root has all the important ingredients in it. In this picture that Isaiah gives us of the child Jesus, he says, he is as a root out of a dry ground. The perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ are not in any way diminished or lessened by the nature of the soil in which he grows. We all grow up with different characteristics. We would say that some people are less favoured than others. Some people seem to have a handsomeness about them. Some people are just plain, plain. And this is there. There are characteristics of abilities and of pleasantries that all of us have in so many different ways. But here, as a picture, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up drawing nothing from the human nature, the fallen human nature of the rest of humankind, with whatever sort of sin, with whatever sort of disease, with whatever sort of thing that they had. The Lord Jesus grew up in a time that was evil, in a nature that in others would have different degrees of evil, but he grew up himself as a root that was perfect. He never did sin. And he never brought sin into any situation. We have a picture of him when he's 12. And his knowledge is such that he can deal and speak on equal terms with the professors of the religion. Because it was his religion. And it was about him. So we see here that the Saviour is one who owes nothing to our human nature. His human nature is a second Adam from above. He is a new representative. He is a new creation. And of course, the Bible teaches that all who believe in him and repent of their sins and confess their sins become in him new creations. Not perfect, but deriving their life not from the old nature in Adam, but from Christ, who is preparing them for the perfection that they will ultimately have in heaven. But it derives from Christ and can only come from Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, because he is unique in the character of his birth. And he grows up before God as a root out of a dry ground. If we desire to draw strength, we must draw it from the Lord Jesus. If we desire to draw guidance, we must draw it from the Lord Jesus. If we desire to draw help that is divine, we must draw it through the Lord Jesus. For there is no other way that we can approach God or be acceptable to him but through the atoning power of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, out of this dry ground, we have a Saviour. Now, you will know that there is a great temptation, not exactly to worship babies, but to goo over them a little bit. Many people like, and rightly, because a child is a wonderful miracle, to look at and to hold babies and to say how lovely they are. Now, in remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not come to remember a baby. We remember that he came in order to die, in order to give his life a ransom for sin. Greater love hath no man than this, that he give his life for his friends. And we come to remember not the babyhood of the Lord Jesus, nor indeed the childhood of the Lord Jesus, nor indeed the years of the Lord Jesus, but the accomplishment by his death on Calvary of the atonement of sin for every sinner. We have to acknowledge, we gladly acknowledge, we freely acknowledge that he is man and our representative and born to take away the sin of those who believe in him. And to do that, he began as a baby and as a child and as a youth, and lived as a young man and died as a young man. But he didn't stay as a baby. It is not babyhood that we are acknowledging. And there is something else that this verse cautions us about. He shall grow up before God as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It is verses like this that remind us that we have no need to have pictures of the Lord Jesus. Pictures of the Lord Jesus do not help our coming to his presence. Neither do we know what he looked like. Neither do we know what his voice sounded like. And the thing that is stressed in this verse is that it doesn't matter. If it was crucial to be able to hear his voice physically and to see what he looked like, then other than those who lived in his time and actually saw him, have no benefit to gain from his life. If it were important that the sound of his voice, actually speaking the words, were crucial, then he would not have been born when he did, but in our age, when voice can be recorded. But he wasn't. We are told that in terms of his humanity, he has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now this takes just a little bit of thinking about. He is stated here to have been unremarkable. You wouldn't fall in love with his, how he looked. You wouldn't be captivated by his voice. You wouldn't look at this man and say, here's one for the future. You wouldn't look at this man and say, he's one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen. We're told that there is nothing in his humanity that would draw our attention to that aspect of him. Neither, of course, was there anything that would draw our attention to him by way of spoiling. There was nothing defaced about him. There was nothing deformed about him. It is that the Lord God gave him such wonderful abilities and such wonderful strength and even perfection, but a perfection that is not noticed physically. There is a famous Roman saying that the art of art is in concealing art. And you will know something of that. I'm sure you've remembered, you've watched somebody drive, or you've watched somebody play a musical instrument, or you've seen somebody handling a language, and you say, wow, it's easy. Till you try and try it. And then you suddenly realise how difficult the thing is. And that's what the Romans meant by saying, the art of art is in concealing art. And the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ were so concealed in his mortal frame that nobody looking at him said, ah yes, here's a perfect man. Here's my idea of a perfect man. And what this scripture points us to is a different sort of relationship. A spiritual and not a physical relationship. No man hath seen God at any time, that's God the Father. But we may have a relationship in our spirits, with such a God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the means by whom we come to God. Now there is a beauty in Christ. There is a form and a comeliness. And the disciples loved him. And those whom he walked with and bestowed his kindnesses upon loved him. But that relationship was not physical. It was spiritual. And what we're told here is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the goodness that we see in him is a goodness of spiritual quality. A goodness of kindness. A goodness of gentleness. A goodness of spiritual power. A goodness of love. A goodness to transform. A goodness to take away and banish sin and to create righteousness. But nothing that you would put down to skillful ability. Nothing that you would put down to beauty of form. The desire that people should have for him is that of those who love him for sins forgiven and who know how wonderful it is to be delivered from the powers of evil. Who know how wonderful it is to be the heirs of everlasting life in the presence of God. Who know what it is like to have the Lord Jesus deliver them from the powers of this evil world, even as we see in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. So we come today not to worship childhood, not to worship one who was stuck in a time warp as a child, but who grew up and who suffered terribly on the cross in order to pay the price of the sins of his people. And this was a death such as we are not likely to be called upon to bring, and therefore he has ever gone before us in this. We owe our salvation, if we're saved at all, to a Saviour who died for us personally because of the sort of people that we are, and who went through the agonies of that death but was raised again because death could not hold him. He paid the price. Sin is cursed, and the wages of sin is death. But Jesus was raised from the dead because his perfections mean that while he offered his body as a substitute for us to bear our sins away in the presence of God, he himself had no sin. And therefore, it was obliging of God to raise him. He was obliged to raise him from the dead and his people in him. We're not made perfect in this world if we believe in Christ, but we are in him, and we are represented by him in heaven, and we belong to him, and our life comes from him. Now, our relationship then is not a physical one. Neither is it one of sort of dreaming up somebody who lived a long while ago and trying to imagine what he's like. It is a relationship entirely of spirit to spirit. God has created us with such spirits as can exercise faith in that which is unseen, precisely because it answers to the relationship that we must have with God in Christ if we are to be saved. We are impoverished. We are roots out of a dry ground. We do not have much to offer or anything spiritually to commend us to God. The Lord Jesus grew up in our human environment, but with all the perfections of heaven. And we worship him in the fullness of those perfections offered on Calvary. And we are not stuck with a child. We are not stuck with one even who died on the cross, but who was raised again and is alive forevermore. He shall grow up before God as a tender plant, as he did, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men in general. Amen.